As many of us know, privatization is not a disease that solely affects weak Canadian governments. For the looks of it, the disease is affecting the entire American continent. It is an epidemic. Well, today, we bring you good news from the Southern Cone. In a little country named Uruguay, the population has found a way to stop the privatization of their telephone utilities, Antel and Ancel. We talked to Gustavo Escarón, Deputy MPP for the left-wing party in Uruguay, the Broad Front. Gustavo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Gustavo, what just happened in Uruguay is something that for us here in Canada will be difficult to even conceive. Tell us about the events of this past week.
Well, in Uruguay, after a bill has been approved by Parliament and ratified by the executive, it may be subjected to a referendum. 25% of the registered voters must sign on in order for a referendum to be called. Just a few days ago, we achieved that percentage. In order to avoid future problems, we're going to continue collecting signatures until we reach a percentage a little higher than 25%.
A los efectos de evitar posibles alteraciones, se va a seguir recolectando firmas para lograr un porcentaje un poquito mayor del 25%.
In numbers, 25% of the electorate translates into how many signatures?
600,000.
600,000 signatures in a population of about 3 million?
That's right, a population of 3 million, an electorate of about 2.4 million people.
What does this mean in terms of the popular vote? What will occur in the next few months?
Well, this would allow the question to be put to the public. In this vote, the whole of the population will pronounce itself either in favor or against the law. If the law is ratified, the communications industries will be privatized, or at least the possibility of privatizing them will remain. If the law is rescinded, then the privatization will be stopped. We know that if the law is put to the public vote, it will not be approved.
No sería posible la privatización. Nosotros sabemos que en caso de que haya referéndum, a través de los estudios de opinión pública, es claro que la ley no sería aprobada, por lo tanto no habría privatización.
The numbers, though, they are astounding. Here in Canada, it would be very hard to imagine that 25% of the population would feel so strongly about privatization that they would force a popular vote to stop it.
I don't know what your constitution or your legal system would allow. In Uruguay, it's also not easy. There have been other situations where the signatures didn't add up to the 25% needed. It not only depends on the person. It's not enough that an individual opposes a law. The person must also express her will by attaching her signature, and in this case, her thumbprint as well.
The results also speak about just how progressive the population really is. Those who oppose privatization in Ontario have a hard time informing the public or even ensuring that it gets media coverage. To what would you attribute the success of the anti-privatization campaign?
The state in Uruguay has always played an important role in public life, in the development of society, including the development of industry and technology. In this underdeveloped nation, for lack of a better term, the state has been a fundamental actor in all economic development.
El Estado uruguayo ha sido un factor fundamental en todo el desarrollo económico.
In the last few years, it's lost participation, given the neoliberal program of this government and the previous few governments. Nonetheless, the Uruguayan population has found ways to impede some of the more neoliberal initiatives. In 1992, for example, there was an attempt to privatize the public telephone company, Antel, and it was stopped.
Tell us a bit about that early attempt to privatize. What happened in 1992?
Well, they achieved the number of signatures they needed, and the question went to a vote. 74% of the population pronounced itself against the privatization of Antel.
Today, in 2002, there's a new government and we again are faced with a new attempt to sell a branch of the public state company. The purpose of the proposed privatization is to avoid fiscal deficit or to avoid critical economic situations. Nonetheless, the privatization of these companies affect the whole future of the country. These companies contribute to the national budget in a very significant way.
In your opinion, the presence of a strong left-wing party, what difference does it make? I'm not sure about the numbers, but
40% tuvo en las últimas elecciones y en este momento ya probablemente
the party had 40% of the vote in the last national elections. At this moment, it'd be almost, well, the number of supporters has grown since the party is founded. The Broad Front first participated in elections in 1971. It got about 25% of the vote. Then, Orojuay lived through a dictatorship until 1985. Since then, support for the Broad Front has grown. In the elections of 1999, the number was about 40%. Today, the polls agree that support nears 45%. That means that the right-wing government or the liberal government that we have today can't do everything it wants to do. This case, the privatization, it's a good example.
No puede hacer todo lo que quiere, esté impedido, esté frenado para poder realizar muchas de las políticas que desea. Este caso es un ejemplo. Porque además la venta de las empresas públicas y de los recursos empobrece al Estado.
If the polls are correct, in 2004 the left wing will win. But because of the sale of public, resources impoverishes the state, it will make the state less able to act politically speaking. So then the left wing will be less able to launch initiatives that will benefit those who have less, because it will have less means to do so.
Sin lugar a dudas van a ser mucho menores que teniendo empresas públicas pujantes o con poder económico importante.
The pro-privatization argument goes something like this. Public enterprises only mean losses. What is the response of the Uruguayan left to this argument?
Bueno, fundamentalmente nosotros rompemos el tema dicotomía que lo público.
Fundamentally, we denounce this fictitious dichotomy that says that the private sector creates profit while the public creates losses. The world is full of examples of private and public companies that create losses and yield profits. We should concern ourselves with efficiency, period. The left wing in Uruguay does not deny the need for the participation of private capital in the economy. There are some areas of the economy where private capital plays an important role and allows for development. On the other hand, in other sectors of the economy, public capital is better suited to promote growth. It depends on many things, including the particular history of the country. Perhaps while in Uruguay it makes sense to keep certain companies in the public domain, that may not be so in other cases. Also, the left wing doesn't refuse to participate in mixed enterprises where private capital is involved. In fact, in Montevideo, where half the population lives, the Broad Front governs, and it does exactly that. All we're saying is that the case should be evaluated on its own merits. Would it be best for a company to function as a private company or as a public company? We know that a public company may be showing losses simply because it's mismanaged. In Uruguay, it's very common that politicians who fail to get elected are appointed as administrators of these public enterprises. They're not always the most competent of individuals, of course.
Van a parar a la administración de estas empresas públicas y no siempre están administradas por los más capaces.
There's also a problem where some of these companies have created huge bureaucracies. That's a problem that we'll rectify once we become government. We plan to cut the excess bureaucracy and make these companies a lot more efficient.
Again, odds are that the left-wing party will form the next government.
Es altamente probable que sí.
It's very likely that we will. The right-wing parties that have held government in the last decades have continued to show their limitations. The country has more and more economic problems. That's in terms of production, in global terms, and fundamentally in terms of distribution of wealth.
Fundamentalmente económicos en términos de producción, en términos de disminución de su riqueza en términos globales y fundamentalmente en términos de distribución de su riqueza.
The public's ready to look for new ways, new alternatives, and that's why it's very probable that the next government will be a left-wing government. That's another reason why it's imperative that these public enterprises are not sold off. They will allow us to implement a number of social policies, policies that left-wing parties traditionally support and that we as well will try to carry forward.
Que van a permitir impulsar un conjunto de políticas sociales que los gobiernos de izquierda tradicionalmente, y por cierto que en nuestro caso también, intentaremos llevar adelante.
This referendum, the results at the polls, to what do you attribute the mass support of the left wing in your country?
Bueno, hay diversos factores. Fundamentalmente, la propia historia del,
well, there are many factors, particularly the history of the Broad Front itself. The party is comprised of a group of parties, all kinds of parties, from the Communist Party to a party with a Christian base, to the Socialist Party and independent groups, as well as groups which in the past were armed guerrilla movements, such as the MPP.
Partido Socialista, grupos independientes como la Vertiente Artiguista, como Asamblea Uruguay, grupos de tradición que en algún momento tuvieron actividad guerrillera, como puede ser el MPP.
Well, each branch has been able to maintain its identity while at the same time uniting to present a common program and single candidates. This characteristic of the party has developed in such a way that now, for most supporters, first comes the front and then their particular sector or party.
Esa identidad construida a lo largo de muchísimos años lleva a que hoy, para la mayoría de los Frente Amplistas, primero está el frente como tal y recién después en un segundo plano su sector o su partido. Y en la construcción de esa identidad hay un fenómeno que es...
There's also a phenomenon which I believe is unique, and that's the neighborhood committees. All sectors participate in the committees, and the committees have a great say in the decisions that the front takes and in defining its politics.
Y en donde tienen mucha importancia en la definición de las políticas, en la definición política de las actitudes o de las decisiones que tome el Frente Amplio.
That would also explain why the population is so dynamic, so well informed.
En parte sí, en parte eso permite romper muchas veces el silencio de muchos medios de comunicación alternativas.
Yes, to an extent, the existence of neighborhood committees also allows information to flow a different way, to break the silence of mainstream media. While traditional media outlets are usually controlled by the conservative parties, the existence of our neighborhood committees allows for the development of alternative networks of information.
Esta cifra que es realmente tan importante, el 25% del padrón electoral.
Gustavo, unfortunately, we have reached the end of the interview. We will be looking forward to talking to you a bit more about this topic that is of vital interest to the Canadian public. Thank you again, and good luck with the vote.
Bueno, quedamos a tu disposición para cuando lo precises y adelante ustedes.
Well, good luck to you. I hope that what we've achieved here helps you there as well, and that you will be able to achieve similar results, hoping as always that the whole of society live a better life.
Con el objetivo de que el conjunto de la sociedad viva mejor.
Thank you very much. What you have just heard was a conversation with Gustavo Escarón, Deputy MPP for the left-wing party in Uruguay, the Broad Front.